See, God judges differently. The most fair system ever devised by God. And everybody can pay that price, whosoever will. But there are too many attractions, and people are investing their time, their talents in so many things, they don't want to invest it in God. So they never get it. So there are these three presences that David tapped into. The delegated presence, the personal presence, and the special presence. And Moses also tapped into them. The delegated presence, the personal presence, and the special presence. Now with this, the devil was no match for him. You could see the Philistines in chapter 18. And of all the battles of David, there are two main ones recorded to teach us these two ways in which he does battle. In chapter 18, now these two battles are the most important in David's life. Because after these two battles, the rest are easy. These are two significant battles that show two strategies or two techniques or two things that will happen in your life when you begin to walk like David walked in these three areas. The first is you will have a breakthrough. The second is that you will surround your enemies. Do you know that breaking through your enemy and surrounding your enemy is different? If you break through the enemy means that you have succeeded in defeating the enemy. If you surround the enemy means your enemy is completely finished. They got no escape. You break through the enemy just scatters. It's a different thing to scatter your enemy and surround your enemy. Because the only way you can surround them is to be bigger than them. The only way where you have enough forces or enough armed forces to surround another army is to have more forces than them. So you got more against them, you could surround, afford to divide your team and surround them. But if they're equal, you could only just defeat them, make a breakthrough. In chapter 18, these are David's battle. As he continue his conquest in God, David manifested all his battles in verse 1. After this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines, subdued them, and took God and his sons, and all these things. But the background is chapter 14, right? Chapter 14. These are the two most important battles. Notice when the battles took place. The battle took place before the personal presence was established and before the special presence was established. The other battles took place after. Chapter 18, the battles took place after the personal and special presence were established. But chapter 14 took place only after the delegated presence was established. So that tells us that when you're faithful even in one area, before that personal presence and the special presence comes, that you have to learn these two strategies in your spiritual walk and warfare with the devil. Now we are not talking about physical battle, we're talking about spiritual battles. Alright, understand that. And chapter 14 says that in verse 9. Now the Philistines, then the Philistines went and make a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water." And they called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means the place of the breakthrough. When you become faithful to God's delegated presence, His gifts and talents in your life, you receive two things. Number one, you receive a breakthrough. Now, a lot of people haven't even received their breakthrough. They have no breakthroughs in their life. The first thing that you experience in your spiritual walk with God is a breakthrough. Your breakthrough could be overcoming a habit in your life. Your breakthrough could be overcoming a sin that consistently bothers you. Your breakthrough could be overcoming a financial problem that plagued your entire career. Your breakthrough could be anything, but it's an area that has caused you to be defeated so that you never walk in the fullness that God wants you to. The first thing you need is a breakthrough. After the breakthrough, you can have the second. Now, the second is more powerful. In verse 14, when the Philistines came again, David inquired of the Lord in verse 14. And God said, "You shall not go up after them." Change of battle plans. "Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone up before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." Now the second battle plan is different. The first is just hearing God and having God promise that He will deliver them. And God says, "Go up, I will deliver them." The first is just going up. The first breakthrough that all Christians need is go up. Go up. Press on. Press deeper. If you're praying very hard and you're not getting a breakthrough, pray harder. Go up is unidirectional. Just go for it. You're meditating on God's word 1 hour, you're not having a breakthrough, meditate for. Go up, increase. Go up means go up in our natural language and in our principle, modern Christianity would mean intensify whatever you're doing until a breakthrough comes. Intensify. Increase it. If you're praying, pray longer. If you're reading the word, read longer. Spend time with God, spend more. If you're fasting, fast longer. Intensify, increase it more often and longer, etc. Intensify. That's the only way to get your first breakthrough, my friend. No shortcuts. See what happens if you fast and fast and fast and it doesn't come? It will come at least before you die. Right. Intensify. I had my first breakthrough after a 40-day fast. First breakthrough in my Christian life had to come after 40-day fast. I don't know how long yours will be. We pray God it won't be that long. With more teaching, it becomes easier. But we didn't have the benefits of teaching in those days. And I took 40-day fast before I broke through old habits in my life. And it took 1 year of word fast as I intensified meditation on the word in my life to break all mental habits in my life. So intensify, intensify. God said, go up, go up, go up, go up. Because why? You want to go down, go down, go down, go down. So he says, go up. Intensify. And after you have your breakthrough, the second is very interesting. The second, if you notice, is being led by the Spirit. The first is being prevailing by the word. I mean, you just keep at it. Keep at it. But the second is not just doing something. The second is you must hear. You must hear the sound of marching in a mulberry tree. These are representative of the wind of the Spirit blowing. Whereas the Spirit moves, then you move. Is it the first stage of anyone's healing ministry always comes to intensify? Where you're praying for the sick and you're just fasting and you're praying for them. Fasting and praying for them. All you know is just to pray for them. God wants to heal all. Praise the Lord. God wants to heal. Oh, God wants to heal. He's a good God. That was a bad devil. He wants to heal. And you're just praying and praying. Then when you have breakthrough and you know your rights and your dominion and you know what the rod of your authority is, you move into that second area where now for you taking authority is no problem. You know, casting out devils is no problem. Simple thing. But being led by the Spirit and you're sensing different area you have moved into. Different area entirely. And here it's surrounding the enemy. Surrounding the enemy. And God says, when you hear that sound, it's not natural ears. It has to be spiritual ears. It means working with the Holy Spirit, working with the angels of God. working with the Holy Spirit and working with the angels of God. Let me show what a difference is. For example, if I were to minister just by the first breakthrough, all we would do is get people who are sick and just line them up and just pray for them. They will also receive healing, no problem. But when you minister by the anointing, it becomes different. For example, when you're ministering by the anointing, ministering by an anointing is actually the second method here. Where God surrounds the enemy, you must hear the marching before you move forward. So ministering by the anointing is like this, where you're just sensing God's presence, you're sensing the Spirit of God. And then the Holy Spirit can go like a light or like a ray of light or something, however you discern the things of the Spirit, and or like cloud or whatever, and start going towards a certain person. So what you do, just follow. When it stops over the person, then you start looking at the person, right? And then you wonder what God wants to do with that person. God will begin to show you. Then God may want you to call up the person. Then you call up the person. So what are you doing when you're doing the second method? Just following Him only. He gives a sound, and you just follow. Or when you're ministering by the anointing, it becomes totally different. Ministering under the anointing is entirely different from ministering to normal praying for the sick. Because ministering under the anointing is following His presence. Whereas you sense Him walk, you just walk there. You sense Him move there, you sense Him move. You're just the instrument to tell people what's happening. That's all. And God is moving ahead of you. And you wait until He moves ahead, then you move ahead. But you're ministering by a breakthrough. Some ministers focus more on that kind of ministry than this kind of ministry. So ministers that focus more on this type of breakthrough ministry, it's very important for them to really press it into the people. And really to build it up into the people in order to get the breakthrough that they require. There are these two areas. And all both are before the personal presence and the special presence. When you're aware of those two, as you walk with God, you begin to walk into this personal presence. Because you begin to know that it's not you who does it, but God who walks with you. And you begin to understand that it's not just trying to get everybody healed. It's learning to do what He wants you to do. Like Jesus Christ, although He healed everyone who came to Him, He did not go to everyone who needs sick. Healing, surprisingly. Like the pool of Siloam, there's a whole lot of people there who were sick in the Gospel of John. He only and he one guy, 38-year-old man, and then he disappeared. It's a different thing. Everybody who came to Him can be healed, but He did not go to everyone. He did not empty all the clinics and hospitals in His day. It was different. He was led by the Spirit accordingly. So these are the areas in David's life that he moved into. And then we go to the final section that we see the administration of David. You begin to see the fivefold ministries. In the book of Acts chapter 15, it is prophesied that the tabernacle of David will be restored. And many people have wondered what that is, and the interpretation is that it is about praise and worship. That is one of the major things that he will do. Included in that is other things as well. In chapter 15 of the book of Acts, verse 16 and 17. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles are called by my name. So it's the Lord who does all these things. And there are five areas of ministry. And I'm just giving you the major areas you could go further into. In chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, you begin to see the fivefold ministries. You will see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers spoken about in shadow form in David's life. And in David's administration. In chapter 23, you will see in the division of the Levites, there were primarily three divisions.